Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, a podcast where authors and friends share all aspects of the Catholic faith. Learn more on reconciledtoyou.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, a podcast about living the faith in your everyday, ordinary life, especially how we can encounter God through books, really great Catholic books. And today I'm going to introduce you, or maybe you were here before when my very dear friend Marge Fenelon was here. We have her back again because this very prolific writer has put out yet another book about our Blessed Mother. Today we're going to talk about America's Mary, the story of Our Lady of Good Help, out from Our Sunday Visitor. Marge Fenelon, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, are you kidding? My pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
So this is exciting because we're going to talk about a Marian apparition that is in America, like no passport required to go and visit this incredible spot. Tell us about Our Lady of Good Help.
Yeah. In our country, that's what really enticed me to do the book, right here. In fact, in my home state of Wisconsin, about 2 hours north of my home, hidden away in what still is rural area of Wisconsin.
Really?
It's remarkable that you have this shrine that's been attracting more attention, not like Lourdes or Fatima, but more attention. So they've actually had to expand the parking lot and build new facilities, and yet it's still quiet and peaceful there, and in the midst of, like I said, it's very rural. There are farms all around you. You stand in the shrine grounds, and you look around, you see farms. You don't see any sign of city at all. But
that reminds me of well, I'm in Massachusetts, and it's not a shrine. I mean, it's a shrine. It's Stockbridge. Yeah. We have the Divine Mercy Shrine. It's not an apparition site, but it's a shrine. But it is it's Western Massachusetts. It's mountains and very quiet. I mean, it's built up, but there is, and the Norman Rockwell Museum, which is my favorite place in the world, is also right there. But that is kind of interesting that these places to come and spend time with the Lord, to encounter Christ in such a powerful way. I love that they're set apart. They're like our modern day deserts, you know, like Jesus came away from the busy and the hustle to these quiet places. I'm thinking this was probably on purpose.
I believe so, because what is the Blessed Mother in all of her apparitions, what has she done? She's always chosen the unassuming in terms of the seers. She's always chosen, I would say, unsuspecting places. You know, that I have run across not one single apparition where she appeared in the middle of a big metropolis.
Right. That's true.
And development could have built around the apparition site, but that wasn't as it was when she appeared. And so just as the other apparitions here in Wisconsin, Our Lady of Good Help in Champion, Wisconsin, was a very unassuming spot. And it was 1859 that the apparition occurred to a young Belgian immigrant woman named Adele Bries. People were very simple, and I mean that in a good way, a beautiful way. I know that adjective can be used negatively, but I don't mean it that way at all. They're very, very simple and warm-hearted and loving. They also were far away from home and in great danger of losing their faith, which is what I believe sparked that necessity for that apparition. But that at 1859 Northern Wisconsin, so it's on the Door County Peninsula. So if you look at Wisconsin, I know the people from Michigan, they'll say, no, we're the mitten, but Wisconsin thinks we're the mitten, and with this very weird long thumb that points. But anyway,
fabulous.
The other mitten, if you look at, it's right in the crook of the thumb is where the apparition was, for Wisconsin. The Northwoods of Wisconsin at that point was completely undeveloped, and thick forest. they even call it still remnants of the ancient forests, so thick that you couldn't even see the sunlight. Sunlight wouldn't even come through the branches of the trees.
Wow.
So you've got this completely wild country. The only inhabitants were Indians, and they weren't very visible. There weren't a lot of them in that area, at least that particular area in Champaign, Wisconsin. And the Blessed Mother appears during this time when you have these new immigrants really in danger of losing their faith, as I said, because there were very few priests and the churches were far, far, far between. And Adele had to travel 11 miles one way to get to Mass, to get to church. And that was on foot.
We're not talking the days of Uber. Like talking
exactly
on foot. I'm guessing it was probably on foot, maybe carriage, but more likely on foot, right? 11 miles.
Yes, because there were no roads. So it didn't even pay. Maybe you would take a horse, but you wouldn't even try and take a wagon or a carriage because of the thickness of the forest. You couldn't get through. So Adele and her family walked because they followed the Indian trails to Bay Settlement, which was, as I said, 11 miles away. The Blessed Mother comes to this place. And you know, that was before internet. That was before cell phones. That was before there were newspapers, but it wasn't like today where you have news everywhere, all over, instantaneously. So word traveled very slowly, which intrigues me. That's a whole nother conversation. But the fact that she knew that this would grow slowly, the Blessed Mother, I find that very intriguing. And it's something that occurred to me after I wrote the book. So I may go back and write some other kind of supplement to that book someday. But in any case, her message is to Adele to primarily teach the children in this what they need to know for salvation in this wild country. Teach the children in this wild country. Wild country. Well, at that time, the Blessed Mother is referring to the wild country, the woods, the wilderness of that area, but then also wild in terms of their spirituality and the dangers of losing the Catholic faith because of so few priests. And there were also some of the interesting European religious customs that were I don't want to say anti-Catholic, but were not in coherence with the Catholic faith. So some of that stuff came across. And I speak of that lovingly because my German grandparents had the same kind of situation. They brought with them some kind of like, wow, that's interesting. Although they were Catholic, it was some innuendos there that were a little bit different. But in any case, the you've got that wild country. You've got there also was an infiltration of other spiritualities that were heretical and also dangerous to the soul. So spiritualism and then there was another sect that called themselves Catholic but weren't. So these poor people.
I was super surprised to see that. I just didn't expect that to be happening. Speaking of wild countries, like how about today, right? Like I love that. I'm sure you're going to get to that, but I think that's fascinating that she, that all of her apparitions, they're for that moment, but they're not just for that moment. Precise. They're absolutely for the rest of us. Like they'll have meaning till the end of time, unless, I mean, that's how I see them at least.
Yes. Oh no, I completely agree. And the experts that I consulted with for in writing the book, the Father Looney the diocese calls him the shrine historian because he knows just about everything about that apparition and that area. He grew up there. So it's kind of nice because he also has personal background. But anyway, Father Looney, Michael O'Neill, the miracle hunter, the people at the shrine, everyone I consulted with led to that same thing, that the message given then, teach the children in this wild country what they need to know for salvation. is so pertinent now. Look at, don't we have a wild country? It might be not underdeveloped, but in fact, you might say overdeveloped, which makes it a wild country in a different sense. But the danger of losing our faith, the danger to the children of not being properly catechized or maybe uncatechized, is it's terrible. It's epidemic. Our kids are growing up not knowing our faith. So that 1859 apparition, you could ask the Blessed Mother to come to Champion, Wisconsin, or anywhere in the United States right now, this minute, and I don't know her mind or God's will, but I would not be surprised if she gave pretty much the same message, because we need to listen. You know, it's 160 some years later since she appeared, and we still haven't quite got it.
we're still not catechizing.
Yeah, exactly. We've still got kids who really don't know their faith. So it's a fascinating thing for me to ponder. Yeah. As I look around at the world.
And that's what I loved about America's Mary, the story of Our Lady of Good Help. We're talking today with Marge Fenelon. That's what I love about this book. It's not just this history book, right? It's not just this account of what happened in 1859. It really is this thoughtful, thought-provoking walk with Mary in this apparition, and really discovering what Adele did when Mary moved her heart. And I think there's also part of, at least for me, when I was reading it, I thought, like, when Mary touches my heart, what am I called to do? How am I called to catechize? How am I called to bring the faith to those who do not have it? And how bold and brazen am I doing so? I mean, she was obedient, which is very important. I feel very strongly about being obedient, but also obedient to God. You know, she did what was asked of her, but she also stayed very faithful. I love the story of giving the keys to the bishop. And I know I don't want to, spoiler alert, or go too much into detail, but I really loved that. She was asked to close the school, but she made provisions and she did what was necessary to make sure she was following what God and the Blessed Mother had asked of her, but yet she was obedient. And I loved that the Holy Spirit touched the bishop's heart when she did what he asked, but yet again, staying faithful. I just found that very fascinating.
Yeah, it was hard to read in the documentation. So digging through the archives and running across that, it was like, really? Because now we see the end result. We see the shrine. We see the beauty of it. We see how it's thriving. And to realize, wow, she really went through an awful lot for her mission. You know, from the very first minutes, literally, of understanding that she's been commissioned to teach children and walking. She would walk a radius of 50 miles to just go door to door and ask the farmers, the settlers, please, would you let me teach your children? Well, now we're going to get into that child labor buzzer, but children were very important to a homesteading family, to a farm family, because it's literally all hands on deck. Everybody has something to give and participate and is vital to feeding themselves and clothing themselves, to their survival. So to allow the children extra time to be away from helping mom and dad and the siblings, that cost a family dearly. And so Adele would make a deal with the parents and say, okay, I'll tell you what, I will stay in for so many days and I will do farm work for you. I will do all the cooking and cleaning for you, whatever it is you need done. I will do that if you let me teach your children the catechism.
That's amazing.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And so you think about all of the other trials that she faced. Like you said, the bishop, there were other skeptics, or there were other difficulties. It wasn't a rich, it was definitely not a wealthy community. And she ended up opening a boarding school there because she couldn't there wasn't enough of her to get to all the children on foot. And so she opened a boarding school so the children could come to her to learn the catechism. Well, who's going to feed these kids? These farmers were very poor. So time and time again, she gathered a community of five women who joined her in this mission. Well, they would put the children to bed at night and know that there was not one single crumb of food in the cabinet and not know what to do. And Adele would say, "Don't worry. Don't worry. The Blessed Mother is going to take care." She would tell the sisters, "Go to bed, rest well, because everything's going to be fine." She would stay up during the night in the chapel praying. So at the apparition site, one of the first chapels that they built there, she would pray during the night. And in the morning, somehow, either a farmer would pull up in front of them with a wagon of food, or they would find food left on the doorstep to feed the children. And I mean, you can read the book. There were time and time again that her faith and her mission were challenged in many, many different ways.
I love that lesson in God's providence. Again, the book tells us of the history, but these are lessons for today. As you're telling that story, I couldn't help but think of Mother Angelica. And she has several stories just like that. Like she needed a check for a certain amount of, she needed a certain amount of money to finish EWTN. And she just kept saying, "Don't worry. If God calls me to this, he's going to provide in it." And then this random stranger, right, shows up at the door and hands her a check for that exact amount. And even in my own life, I've had moments where, like, there's just no way that X and Y are going to connect. And this is, you know, we're not going to pay this bill, or we're not going to. I tell the story in my book, Encountering Signs of Faith, about how one Thanksgiving we were completely broke. No credit cards, no money in the bank, nothing. And I just prayed and asked the Lord to provide in his, you know, if it was his will. And we got a free turkey. We got free vegetables. Everybody else brought the rest of the food. And, you know, things worked out in the end. And it's that trust and faith that that God is going to provide what you need. I mean, did I get the vegetables that I wanted? No. But I got vegetables that were edible and I learned something delicious. Like I learned something new. It's not always what we want. It's always what we need. And he'll never abandon nor forsake us. That's just in his word. And I love this example of such abandon to that divine, divine providence, but also her great, great faith that obviously she had before meeting our Blessed Mother.
Yeah. And I do hope and pray for her canonization someday, because in my heart, after studying her life, I really do in my heart believe she was a saint, because she was noted for her piety all the way back when she was a young girl. She just had that reputation already. So you know, you can see how the Blessed Mother looked for an open heart, a loving heart, someone who would readily give to the mission that the Blessed Mother had. And so there is no trace anywhere in Adele's life of her being in any way oppositional, in any way being sinful. I mean, I know we all have original sin, but you know, overtly, where you could say, "Well, I know she fell off the wagon there," or she, you know, no, absolutely no evidence whatsoever, and always so faithful to the Catholic Church. And it was, you know, when you think about how difficult that would be for a young woman, for a child even, to so embrace the Catholic faith when there was so little of it available in terms of the church, the priest, and so on. And, you know, it wasn't like she could go to Catholic grade school and learn there and be in that environment. Her life was a life of toil. And yet she had that instilled in her, that deep love for the Catholic faith that is just remarkable to me.
It is beautiful. We're talking today with Marge Fenelon. Her new book is America's Mary, The Story of Our Lady of Good Help, out from Our Sunday Visitor. Before we let you go, I have to talk about this very blonde Mary. I also want to mention, I don't want to forget to mention that there's amazing Mary, photos. Yeah. Go ahead. I want to mention that there's a beautiful photos in the middle of the book, which is always fascinating to me that we can have pictures. So much of our faith and our saints are these people who live, we just have paintings of them. They lived so long ago. So I love when we have these more modern days. I know she's not canonized, but I believe I agree with you, and I will be praying with you that she does become a saint. I can't believe that she won't someday, but I was very captured by, and it actually started when I got to the picture that you took at the shrine of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the image that there is there. Our Lady of Good Help is got, and I say blonde hair, but really it's golden hair. Can you tell us about this image? So different.
Well, she, as she has done elsewhere, Guadalupe, was it Cabejo? What was the, I know there was an Asian apparition, Akito. She appeared to look like the people to who she was appearing. That was kind of an odd sentence, but so just as those other apparitions, she appeared as a Belgian immigrant woman when she appeared to Adele Brees. So her characteristics, her features, and her beautiful golden hair is very reminiscent, is very in keeping with the Belgian physique and care, you know, the features and the golden hair of the Belgian immigrants. So she appears like her children, you know, like mom, you know, how they say kids look like their mother. Well, she is so awesome and cool. She does the opposite. The mom appears like the children.
And oh my gosh.
This is Golden Mary. And it's, there's a little bit of a funny story because the original statue dedicated for the shrine, and I can do this really quick, was actually Our Lady of Grace. So it wasn't the golden haired Mary that is more now familiar to that apparition. But after some years, the Bishop of Green Bay, Bishop Ricken, thought, you know, we really need an image of what she really looked like to Adele, how Adele described her. And Adele gave a pretty good description. And so he commissioned this statue, which is the one you're talking about, the one I took the picture of, commissioned this statue, which is now in the upper church, and to look exactly as the way Adele described her. And it's funny to listen to people say that we couldn't stand that wasn't our, because we're used to the other one. But now people are falling in love with it because they're understanding, this is the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help. Then we really need a representation of what did she really look like to Adele. So it's interesting.
I love that point.
Yeah, it's just such a, it was so cute listening to some of these people talk about it. Like, well, we just couldn't put up with that. But now, we kind of like it. But it's I agree with Bishop Ricken. You need some kind of representation. And he didn't take away the original statues. He just added this other one so that visitors and the people there could see, that's right. That is exactly how she appeared.
I love that you make that comparison. Of course, when she appeared in all these other places, she appeared looking like the children that she was appearing to. I mean, we can talk about even being an adult, but they're still her children.
Right.
And I had never thought of that before. I mean, I knew, like, I have the Our Lady of Guadalupe is right behind me hidden, but she's right here. and of course, you know, she looks like the native people. I love that. Anyway, that's just fascinating. And I thought this image was absolutely beautiful, just shining and just emanating so much love. So I want to just remind people this amazing book, America's Mary, the Story of Our Lady of Good Help. I also want to tell people to stay tuned. Marge and I have been trying now for 3 years to arrange a Marian retreat at Our Lady of Good Help, in Champion, Wisconsin. And it just keeps getting thwarted, but we trust in God's providence. We trust in God's perfect timing. And we're going to try for November 2023. Who knows? God's in control, but just keep your ears open. Get prepared. If you're looking for making a trip to Wisconsin to go to this amazing shrine. Hold on until we're having our retreat and you can come and join us for that great event again in God's timing. So Marge, tell us how we can continue to keep up with you, where we can find your book. And those are the two questions I have.
Didn't it feel like there should have been another part to that? I do that to myself all the time. Well, you can find me at margefenelon.com. So on my website, all of the stuff is there. All of my appearances, my social media links are there. My blog, and of course my books and other interesting things to do and see and learn about. So on margefenelon.com, and you know, I'm on all the usual, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, too many. I don't even remember all the ones. So I'm on Twitter. I'm just about everybody I'm on.
Good. Lots of Marge Fenelon to go around. And just real quick, because I just noticed behind you, Our Lady Undoer of Knots. And I won't go too far into it, but I just have to quickly tell everybody this incredible story. It was just kind of how I met Marge. I had read this book. We had not yet connected in real life. I did not. And I've actually been blessed to meet her several times now. Yay. But Ave had sent me this book to share on my show. At the time I was doing live radio. And I started praying this Undoer of Knots. And I'm praying, and I decided to walk outside and pray. So I read the book, this reading's inside, and I head outside and I'm praying and I'm just asking God for a sign that he's listening, that everything's going to be okay, because we're going through some really tough stuff. At that time, it was the 2015 saga of our lives. Again, you can read all about that in Encountering Signs of Faith. Anyway, long story short, I'm walking, I'm praying this Undoer of Knots, and this car drives by in the road with the license plate that says Knot 5, K-N-O-T 5. And I go and I look at what that was in the book, and it was, I believe it was letting go and grief. It had something to do with grief, and we ended up losing my father-in-law not shortly after that. But I felt prepared because I had done the novena. I had Blessed Mother just kind of guiding me along in this difficult time. And actually, we also lost a very good friend of ours at that same time, my son did. So it was just crazy. And so I had to send Marge an email. I'm like, hi, you don't know me. I'm just a crazy fangirl. And I'm reading your fabulous book. And here's what happened. And I love that the Lord used that moment. He used that very difficult time in my life. He used your amazing book, which I know you wrote while visiting the Holy Land, and the connections you make. I can't recommend that one enough either. And I'll put the link into the show notes for Our Lady Undoer of Knots book, again, by Marge Fenelon. I just love how the Lord just kind of connects his children in such a fabulous way.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad he connected us. I'm delighted and grateful.
me too. Thank you, Marge Fenelon, again, for spending this time with us. I love having you on. I look forward to your next book so I can have you back again, which we don't have to really wait for that. We'll have you back when we finally get a day for our retreat. We can talk about that.
Yes. Yes, I'm determined. I know I will. I hope God is determined, because I am.
Me too. Thank you. We've been talking with Marge Fenelon about her new book, America's Mary, The Story of Our Lady of Good Help, available from our Sunday visitor. As always, please go to your local Catholic bookstore first and foremost to look for all your good Catholic books. Let them know what you're looking for so other people can find it as well. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. God bless.
Thank you for listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. Your reviews at your favorite podcast service help this podcast reach others who may be blessed by the content. Please subscribe and share with others. Come back soon for an all-new episode.